Okay, so what is with you? Asking a little bit, you know, huh? Caroline, how is your practice going?
Keep going.
I mean, is the heart, you know, calm?
Sometimes.
I mean, investigate where is the mind always going? And then investigate if that where the mind is going has any value. Yeah? I mean, you have to do it often, you know. When the mind goes there, thinks about this, thinks about that, you know. Then you have to ask yourself, what is the value of thinking about this, yeah? What does it change in the world? Yeah? I mean, our thinking does not change, yeah? Our actions, our words and our actions do change things, yeah? But our thinking normally doesn't, yeah? I mean, do we rest in the past? You know, what is the purpose of resting in the past? Unless we remember that is something for our practice, you know, that we forgot, yeah? Sometimes it can happen that we, I've been to this point before, you know, I mean, why did I forget it, yeah? It was very important, you know, I mean, to do it like this or do it like that, you know, but you forget, you know, whatever is important in our practice, the kilesas try to forget it, yeah? So, make the mind calm, you know, I mean, this is the first step, yeah? I mean, here we keep the five precepts. So, I mean, the path to the end of dukkha, yeah? Or the path in the freedom, yeah, in nirvana, yeah, is sila, samadhi, panya. So sila, we keep here the eight precepts without any doubt. Yeah, there's no fidgeting around. You know, keeping the precepts. Yeah? That's it. Yeah, we keep the precepts when we are monks. We keep the 227. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing that we need. You know, when we practice, what do we need? We need tools, yeah? Tools to do this, yeah? I mean, when you look in Thailand, you know, I mean, what are the monks doing? They build this and build that, you know? I mean, they're also outside, you know? Building this, building that, yeah? And so on, yeah? And what is the purpose? They don't build inside, yeah? They don't build inside, you know, the chedi inside, yeah? They all work outside, you know. Oh yeah, it is important to build a chedi, it is important to build another sakha, you know. I mean, one monastery has 15 sakhas or 16, what is it in English, sakha? Branch monasteries, yeah. I know, I need another branch monastery. And then they build that up, you know, another branch monastery. Or we need the chedi, you know, or... But inside they don't build it up, yeah? What we need is sila, yeah? I mean, for the lay people, 8 precepts, for the monks, 227, we keep them. Yeah? No question, yeah? No doubt, yeah? Nothing around that, yeah? And then we practice samadhi, yeah? And samadhi is what most of the people, you know, especially when they come from the West, cannot do, yeah? I mean, sitting still, being with our object of meditation, that be the breath, you know, in-breath coming in, or the out-breath, yeah, the out-breath going out, or, you know, the mental repetition of the word Buddha, until there is no other thought and other memory coming in except for the Buddha or except for the attention on our breath. Why is it so difficult? Because they constantly try to drag us out. And that's where we have to, yeah? I mean, we don't need force, you know, to keep our attention on the Buddha, yeah? There we don't need force. We observe the Buddha, we observe the breath, yeah? We don't need any force for that. The moment that the citta goes out and thinks about this or memorizes this, that's where we need force, you know, to bring it back to the attention on the breath or around the nose, you know, or to the Buddha. That's where we need, yeah? Because they don't like to go back, yeah? It's like, you know, setting the dogs free, they don't like to go back on the line, yeah? But once they know it, you know, through years of training, you know, okay, they come back by itself, yeah? And that is the same thing for our samadhi. The training, you know, to constantly bring our mind back to the object that we chose, you know, be it the Buddha or be it the breath, yeah, that is where the mind then rests, yeah, and where it can go deeper and deeper and deeper, yeah. I mean, in the beginning there might be still some thoughts coming up, you know, but they are, you know, very sparse, yeah. And then, you know, there are no more thoughts, there are no more memories, yeah. And when we enter samadhi or upachara samadhi, access samadhi, I mean, then we feel free, yeah. Because there are no kilesas, the kilesas cannot enter this room, yeah. That's why we feel, you know, free, yeah. There's no future, there's no past, you know, there's just this present moment, yeah. And we feel happy, yeah. Or we feel, you know, we feel peaceful. Whatever, you know, I mean, that depends on the characteristic of the person, yeah. There's a feeling, yeah. But the moment we get out of samadhi, I mean, the thoughts that come and memories are coming and you know, I'm really making us disturb our inner peace that we gather, yeah. So it is important, in the beginning, it is important to develop the samadhi. And with this development of samadhi, we also have to develop sati. Sati is the knowingness, yeah. I mean, what is the knowingness when we observe the breath? The knowingness is, how is the breath at this moment? Is it the beginning of the in-breath? Is it the middle of the in-breath? Is it the middle of the out-breath? Or is it the end of the in-breath? You know, is it changing to the out-breath? That is the knowingness that we have to develop. And we are, most of the time, you know, especially when we come from the West, lazy to do this, yeah? We don't want, you know, we just, I mean, this is not samadhi. Samadhi is knowing at every moment what is happening. How is the breath at every moment, yeah? Every slice, yeah? Every mind moment, yeah? How is the breath, yeah? Is it deep? Is it shallow? Is it, you know, is it rough? Is it, you know, is it detailed, yeah? How is the breath? Or how is the Buddha? Yeah? That is the sati, this knowingness that we have to develop. When we look at it, you know, I mean, look at Mahabodhi, you know, he said, there are two weapons that we have to fight the kilesas. That is sati and panya, and wisdom. And wisdom is not, you know, that we don't develop it, you know, just by sitting in samadhi. No. Wisdom is developing when we have an object, one of the khandhas. In our case, and in the beginning, it is the rupa khanda, it is the body. Yeah? So, we fix our attention, just like we fix our attention, you know, on the Buddha or on the breath. Now we fix our attention on the whole body or part of the body, yeah? And then we ask questions. That's how we develop wisdom. We ask the right question, and then we listen to the answers that come, yeah? And we disregard all the answers that come from the kilesas until the knowingness arises, you know, what is this, yeah? I mean, we can ask the question, you know, I mean, what happens, you know, if I slice up my heart, how does it look, yeah? Or if I slice up my lungs, you know, or my liver, you know, or my stomach, you know, what is the contents of my stomach? I want to know, yeah? These are the questions that we ask, yeah? And the citta will show us the contents, yeah? If you have trained it long enough, yeah? In the beginning, of course, we train a super practice, you know, with looking at corpses, you know, or pictures, you know, or it can be an atomic atlas, yeah, or things like that. Yeah? Then we look at the picture, you know, we internalize the picture, then we close our eyes and keep that picture going, yeah? until it becomes stable. And once we can do that, then we can go to, yeah, I mean, another body or our body, you know, no matter what it is, and slice it open and look at it and ask this question. Yeah? I mean, we can ask the question, you know, how did I die, you know, in my previous life, yeah? I want to see it, yeah? And then it comes up, yeah? The memory comes up because everything is stored in the citta. Citta never forgets anything, yeah? So we can see our previous lives or previous death, you know, and it shows us directly what it is, yeah? That is investigation. That leads to wisdom. Yeah? Without questions, it doesn't lead to wisdom, it leads to samadhi. And that's what a lot of people don't understand, you know. I mean, there's a lot, you know, there's a lot of going on in the West, you know. I mean, just observe anicca, yeah. I mean, of course it is anicca, yeah. I mean, the thoughts come and the thoughts go, feelings come and feelings go, yeah. We can observe that for the rest of our life and they still come and go. Huh? Nothing changes, even though we know it is anicca. Nothing changes with it. Eh? If we don't look what causes these memories to come up, what causes, you know, what is behind this memory, who brings up the memory? Of course the kilesas bring up, but what came before this memory? What came before this feeling? What came before this thought? What was the stone, you know, that causes the avalanche? Because only what we see is the avalanche. I mean, the thought formations, you know, or the memory combined with the thought, you know, that's what we see. The emotions, you know, I mean, the emotions are built up from feelings, you know, and from thought and from memory. Yeah? That's how they're combined, you know. It's just like, you know, we cotton candy, you know. I mean, we throw some sugar into a hot bowl, you know, and then stir it up, and then it becomes big and big and big and big. And all what it is? Sugar. Yeah? And that's the same thing. Yeah? It starts with one thing. And we have to look, you know, with what it starts. Yeah? What came before this? What came before that? Yeah? That's why we use the daily reflection, you know, in the evening or in the afternoon, yeah, to train us to go back in time, yeah? To know what kind of thought did I wake up, yeah, or what kind of image did I wake up? What did I do then? What kind of feelings? What kind of memories? What kind of thoughts came in? What did I do then? Yeah? If we can't remember, we just skip it, you know, and go to the next thing that we remember. And if we do that every day, I mean, we can remember the whole day, you know, it rolls down like in a film, you know, maybe in 1 or 2 years, you know, it rolls down like a film within 5 minutes. But the first time, you know, we do it, and it takes an hour or takes 1.5 hours, you know, to go through the whole day. Because we don't want to remember, you know. Huh? We don't want to remember what we did. We don't want to remember what kind of feeling. We don't want to remember our actions or reactions, yeah. Because it shows us, you know, actually it shows us, you know, that we did something wrong. But when we do the reflection, we don't judge. We don't say it's good or we don't say it's bad. We just show the citta. Yeah? We open our citta, yeah, and show it, you know, what it has done, what kind of feelings were there, what kind of thoughts were there, what kind of memories were there, what happened then, you know, what did we do then, what did we do then. Yeah? We don't have to go in our, you know, when we see, you know, we sit in samadhi for 2 or 3 hours, you know, I mean, that's fine. We sit and then we ask, you know, why did I get up? Yeah? And the answer is obvious, you know, pain. Yeah? Discomfort, yeah? That's why we get up. Why did I stop walking meditation? Discomfort, yeah? I'm tired, yeah? The kilesas are tired of walking, yeah? So, yeah? The Dhamma is never tired, yeah? So that's what we do, you know, in the evening or in the afternoon, we do our daily reflection. Because then, in our investigation, yeah? In our investigation, we can roll back, yeah? What came before this thought, yeah? Not just saying, you know, anicca, yes, it's fine, you know, anicca is fine, you know, anatta is fine. It's not me, it's not mine, you know, but it really does not change the thing. Yeah? What changes is asking the right questions, you know, and getting the right answers. Yeah? In the beginning, you know, when we ask questions, you know, most of the answers are coming very fast from the clear. Oh, why? Where is there pain, you know? We never ask, why is there pain? What is pain? What is pain? How does it feel like? How does pain feel like? Yeah? Where is actually the pain located? Is it in the skin? Is it in the tendons? Yeah? Ah, yes, yes, it is in my muscles, you know, because I... No, not because. Yeah? That's not the right answer. Yeah? Where is it? Yeah? When I get up, because the pain, you know, if it is in the muscles really, you know, then the pain should persist, you know, when we get up. But it doesn't persist. Yeah? It disappears. Because the pain is not there. No? Is it in the bones? Is it in the tendons? Is it in the muscles? Is it in the flesh? Where exactly is this pain? Yeah? And that's what we want to know. That is, you know, developing wisdom, yeah? Investigation of dukkha vedana, investigation of painful feelings. Yeah? In the same way we can investigate any kind of feeling. Yeah? Be it lust, you know, be it greed, you know, we can investigate it. What is it? Where is it? You know, what does it do? Yeah? And sometimes we can ask ourselves the question, why am I doing this to myself? It is painful. Yeah? When I think about this or think about that. Why am I doing this? Yeah? Ask yourself the question. Yeah? I know it is painful, but I constantly do it again and again and again because I don't know the reason why I'm doing it. Yeah, what came before this? Yeah, what came? What triggered this train of thought? Yeah, or train of memory? So what triggered it? You know, what was the cause? Yeah, to see it. Yeah, to see it with our inner eyes. Yeah, not to think about it. The moment we think about it, it always goes in the wrong direction. Not think about it, what triggered it, yeah? Because then we don't know, yeah? Our thinking and our memories never lead to the right answers, yeah? Our looking at it always leads to the right answers, yeah? Looking at what came before, what came before, what came before. What is the stone, you know, that causes avalanche, yeah? That's how we do investigation. And the first thing that we investigate is there are two things, you know, while we sit in samadhi, the only investigation we are allowed to do when we sit for 2 or 3 or 4 hours, you know, investigating pain, just like I talked before. Yeah, what is pain, yeah? And then you will see, you know, I mean, if you're really interested in what is pain, how does it feel like, you know, breathe it in, you know, feel comfortable, accept it, yeah? That is the first thing, to accept pain, yeah? Because we don't want pain, huh? So we first have to accept it and then we can investigate it, yeah? Where is it, yeah? And if we come close to the truth, the pain moves from one location to the next. Then we go with our sati, with our attention onto the next, yeah? And then ask the same questions, yeah? Until we come very close to the truth. And then it leads us through many, many locations within the body until it shows us where it's really coming from, yeah? Because the pain that we feel in meditation is not the pain of the body, yeah? But it seems to manifest in the body. Hmm? And that's why we have to investigate. That is the only exception when we do samatha, yeah, when we do calm meditation, I mean the Buddha meditation or the breath meditation, we stay with the breath, yeah? Until, you know, the pain is so strong that we cannot concentrate on the breath or Buddha anymore, then we are allowed, you know, to do the investigation of the pain, yeah? Otherwise, we don't do any investigation. And that is the same thing. We don't mix these two things up. We don't mix up samatha with vipassana. Vipassana is inside meditation. Inside meditation has an object. It can be a feeling, it can be the body, it can be a part of the body, and that it sticks to it, and we don't go into samadhi when we do inside meditation. Sometimes it happens by itself, you know, and we can't help it, but when we see it, you know, we want to go, yeah? We want to go into calm because the mind can get very calm, you know, when it does inside meditation. No, we stick to the object, yeah? We investigate the object. So we don't mix up vipassana with vipassana and samatha is samatha. We don't mix this up because we don't get any results, yeah? Samatha, we want to get into samadhi, yeah? Into upachara samadhi where there are no thoughts, no memories. And then we want to go even deeper, yeah? Into apana samadhi, where the whole world disappears. Yeah? What happens before is the parts of our body disappear. In the end, there's only a very little spot on the body, but the whole world has already disappeared, yeah? And then, you know, then we dive into one-pointedness. And one-pointed means, you know, everything, you know, that exists in our universe, that is duality, yeah, becomes one point. And that is the first wonder of meditation. Apana samadhi, one-pointedness, where everything disappears, yeah? That is the first wonder of meditation, you know? I mean, when we come out, you know, we feel like in world war, yeah? Everybody shoots us out, you know? Our sensations shoot us out, the kilesas shoot us out, everything, you know? And we want to go back into this nice state of peacefulness. It's also called, you know, Lungda Mahabho called it also a preview of Nibbana. Yeah? It's a preview, it's not the real thing, yeah? It's a preview. And we know, and we need this kind of apana samadhi, or this kind of deep samadhi. I mean, once we investigate the, I call it the third fetter, but actually, in the text I think it's just the second fetter, the attachment to the body, yeah? Once we are finished, you know, once we see the chitta is the chitta and the body is the body, you know, I mean, when everything is cleared out, yeah, all the fetters are nearly cut, you know, then we go into deep samadhi. Yeah? It is very similar. Yeah? It's called, you know, then it is called maka. They differ a little bit, yeah. Maka, you know, and this cuts off, yeah, and then we enter the street. Okay, that's enough for today. If you have questions, please go ahead and ask. Yeah, I mean, if you from behind, you know, you can just come go. Do you have any question? No? Everything clear? Yeah? Until we go into practice, and everything is unclear. Yeah? Go ahead, ask the question.
You have mentioned in one of your recent Dhamma talks that it is possible to help your parents out of hell.
He asked it. This question was already asked, you know,
yes,
at the same session.
And then the question now keeps going, like, how is this feat accomplished?
I don't know. I have never done it. So I don't know. I mean, look, Mahabodhi knows it, yeah? I mean, you have to be very skilled as a monk, you know, and you can travel to hell, you know, I mean, and you can see your parents, yeah? But I don't know. I personally don't know. I don't have the experience. Why does he want to? I mean, he's not even a monk, you know. I mean, you have to have excellent samadhi, and you have to have, yeah, and the ability, you know, upachara samadhi, where you can travel to the different realms. You know, I mean, if you don't have that, you know, you can't even get them out there. What you can do is, you know, with everybody of us, you know, share the merit of our practice or share the merit of our generosity with our parents. That's it, yeah? And that might alleviate their pain, you know, when they are down there or, yeah. Okay, so next question.
How could the Buddha have appeared before Ajahn Mun if the Buddha was enlightened and therefore could not have been reborn in any realm in the future when Ajahn Mun was alive?
You have to ask Ajahn Mun. I mean, it is actually explained in the Patipada. I mean, why does he ask me questions, you know, that I explained in the Patipada? I mean, in the end of the Patipada, you know, Anlungta Mahabodhi explains, you know, how it can happen, yeah? Because, I mean, all the scholars, you know, when they heard of it, you know, all the scholars in Sri Lanka, it's impossible. Yes. And the Lord Buddha explained it to him. In the Patipada, why don't you read it? You know, why do I have to explain it? Yeah? He explained, you know, Lumpu Man asked the Lord Buddha, how can you appear in front of me? Huh? And the answer is there, so I mean, go ahead and read it.
Is Sati Anatta.
What?
Is Sati Anatta. Sati?
No, it's, yeah, Sati is Anatta in Anicca Dvaita. Lungta Mahabodhi said it very clearly, you know, I mean, the moment he entered Nibbana, you know, I mean, Sati disappeared and, just wasn't there. Because in Nibbana there is nothing of this world that can appear and disappear. Yeah? Nibbana is permanent. Yeah? Okay? These were the questions. How is our Singapore doing?
I think it's getting better. I think ever since I started with metta meditation,
yeah.
I think I kind of relaxed and I kind of got to locate the location of my heart. It's the citta. I think it might be the citta or it could be the physical heart. But it's just that for the samadhi at the moment, it's not something that I could reach at this moment. But I think in the past few weeks, like the past 2 weeks, the Dhamma talks from the 2009 and 2019 answered my question, that's why I didn't really have a lot of questions.
Yeah, I mean, that it is the same thing, you know. When I came to Wat Pa Panthat, Lungta Mahabodhi gave three Dhamma talks a year. And he said to all the monks, you know, I mean, listen to the Dhamma talks that are on the tapes, you know, just listen to, and you know, I mean, if he had really questions, then we came up, you know, and saw him, yeah. But, I mean, and then the second Pansa, or the second Yeah, I was a monk, you know, I mean, he gave only two Dhamma talks, yeah. And the years before, I mean, there were very few, yeah. I mean, the last time he gave lots of Dhamma talks was 25, 30, and 31. And after that, you know, I mean, it was, I mean, he talked about everything. I talked about everything, every detail of the practice, yeah. I mean, so listen to the Dhamma talks, yeah. Or listen to Lungta Mahabhor, you know, whatever you prefer, you know. I mean, just listen with your heart. Don't think about what is just said, just listen with your heart. And that already leads to calm. But you should not forget, you know, to train the mind, you know, to stay with the object, yeah. I mean, it is difficult for us, you know, because, I mean, especially nowadays, you know, people, you know, with their smartphones, you know, and constantly, yeah. And Singapore, terrible. I mean, they are so busy all, yeah? Yeah. All the time, yeah. So you have to really force, yeah. Okay, puttu, gone. Puttu, gone. Not even thinking about why it goes out, yeah. Just bring it back. Bring it back to the Buddha or bring it back to the breath. Yeah? It should stay there. Yeah? Once it is there, relax, observe. Yeah? And observing, you know, I mean, it is a very fine quality. Yeah? You can learn it here in the forest, you know, when you observe animals, when you observe the ants, what they are doing, you actually know what they are doing. You don't have to mentally formulate what they are doing. You see? And know. How can you not know? Yeah? Also the garok, yeah, the squirrels, you know, or other animals. Yeah? I mean, you see and you know. You observe them, what they are doing, you know, and you know. And that is how you observe the breath or how you observe the Buddha. You observe and know. Yeah? This is how we develop the knowing. Yeah,
yeah, I think maybe this past week, I think understanding more about the five khandhas really helped me. I'm not sure why, but initially when I first watched your video, it was anicca, anatta, and dukkha.
Yeah.
Recently, I've been focused on the five khandhas, and I think that helped me with the meditation because now I notice that once my legs start moving, it's actually the start of the chain reaction to me getting out of the thing. So once I say there is a movement,
yeah,
and then I realize then this movement then connects to maybe some other reaction in my bodily reaction, and then I get a faster identification.
It takes time. I mean, learning meditation is like learning to walk or learning to talk. Yeah. We get up, we fall over, we get up, we fall over, until we can stand a little bit, then we can make the first step, you know, and then we fall over, then we stand up again, you know, we can make two steps, you know, we fall over, until we can walk, and then until we can run. Yeah? And the meditation is the same thing. Patience is necessary. Yeah,
yeah, I think at a certain point I told myself that you can't expect much from these 2 months, but at least I felt like during these 2 months, I got half of what I wanted, which was my original purpose to come here was to understand myself and understand all the suffering that came inside. So the investigation, even though without sati, the daily reflection helped me understood better.
Yeah.
And it was until the fifth week that I realized that the Kalisa has been like telling me to do the daily reflection of the activities, but then when I look back at the meditation while I got out, I realized that I have no answer, and that was when then I realized that I have to make sure that every meditation, what the reason I get out, I have to know it.
Yeah.
And I think from there everything just kind of pieced together.
Yeah, that's good. Also, know, you know, I mean, when we are in samadhi, when we train samadhi, I mean, any kind of movement of the body comes from the citta. That means our citta is not calm. When the citta moves, the body moves. Yeah? When the body moves, we know that the citta has moved. Yeah? But we were not aware of it. Yeah? So our samadhi is not good enough. Yeah? So, because once we are really in upachara samadhi, the body does not move at all. Huh? And the body sits erect, it doesn't sit like this, yeah? That's the kilesa sitting like this. The body sits completely erect and doesn't move, yeah? And if we, it is even stronger when we are in Apana Samadhi, I mean, people can carry us away without us realizing it, yeah? I mean, it happened, you know, it happened to the disciples of Lungda Mahabho, when they were sitting, you know, and sitting in a Dhamma talk, you know, listening to Lungda Mahabho, and one went into Apana Samadhi, and then the Dhamma talk was finished, and he was still sitting there, and didn't want to get up. Lungda said it a few times, and then he said, you know, to the lay people, carry him home, yeah? And when he was home later, hours later, you know, he came out, where am I, yeah? That is Apana Samadhi, yeah? I mean, the body is completely gone, this whole universe is gone. But in Samadhi, you know, when we sit in Samadhi, we sit completely erect, by itself, yeah? Because the kilesas are the one who move like this, you know? Or sit like, oh, I'm so tired, you know? No. When we are in Samadhi and we are really, you know, there's no thought and no murmur is coming up, we sit completely erect and completely relaxed, yeah? We don't have to do this, you know, people try to move this and move that, you know, maybe I'm not sitting correct. No, that are the kilesas, yeah? We concentrate on the object, be it the breath or be it the Buddha. And the body does its rest, yeah? Once the kilesas are gone, you know, I mean the body, yeah, relaxes completely. Yeah? Yeah, what?
I also have a question about movements. About a year after I started meditating, when I enter into kind of peaceful meditation, not jhana or anything like that, just kind of settle in, I notice my body, usually I start something like this or like this, but then once I get into the guru meditation, I get what I found to be called kriyas and mudras. So mudra is like my hands would kind of go like this on their own. I don't will it to do it.
What goes on its own?
My hands, they just kind of do these movements on their own. I can make it stop, but I also, eventually it just kind of slowly comes back.
Yeah, I mean that means your citta is not completely calm. Yeah? It goes, you know, it goes probably in the memory of a past life where you trained that. Yeah? So actually when you get into the state, you know, it does this movement, you know, out of memory, yeah, out of memory from past life, yeah, but we don't need that, yeah. So know, I mean, when these movements start, know that the citta is not completely calm. It might be peaceful, but there is a lot of unrest that moves the hand. Because close your eyes, you know, and try to move the hand, yeah, without the intention, yeah. To move the hand will not move. You can think about, I want to move my hand. It doesn't move. Only if I send, and you can feel the signal that is sent through the brain to move the hand. Try it out, when you come.
When the hand moves, what should I do? Should just continuously acknowledge it and make it?
Let us go back to the Buddha and know, or the breath, whatever you do, yeah, and be much more interested, yeah. What is the breaking point? What is the breaking point between the in-breath and out-breath, yeah? When I can, you know, the more you focus, the more you're interested on the breath, I mean, things disappear by itself, yeah? So you know, the moment you see this movement coming up, you know, you lost interest. You lost interest in your object. So you have to reinvigorate this interest into your object, you know, be it the Buddha or be it the breath, yeah? Okay? No more questions, sir? Okay, then we can go and practice, yeah?